Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." He said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits upon the throne will shelter them with his presence. They will hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to All Saints' Day, we talk about death and life. We don't like talking about death. In my time in the parish, I conducted over 300 funerals. I went to many visitations, and one of the most remarkable things about going to a visitation is to have a dead body laid out in a coffin and a bunch of people standing within 3 or 4 feet of it pretending that there's nothing behind them because none of them actually look at it, and they'll talk about the weather, they'll talk about sports, they'll talk about anything other than the fact that somebody has died or that somebody is just behind them. But there's no escaping it. There's no real looking past it. As much as we try to ignore it, it's always there, and it's there for us all. And the longer you live on this earth, the more you recognize that. This year, two of the names on the list belong to my family, and we could have added another 3 or 4. Death comes. And what's more, as you stand there in the midst of it, what people who are just visiting, people who are just trying to console one another, miss or try to ignore is that death comes as a curse. And it is always going to come as a curse. If you try to look at it in any other way, you've missed everything about it. You've missed the point, and you've also missed what Jesus has come to save you from. It's a curse. You've got to remember that, and it's a curse that impacts every single part of your life. So if you're ignoring death, you're ignoring reality. You remember how it came, and you can see how it impacts you if you remember how it came. They're in the garden, and Eve is tricked by Satan. "You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Just take the fruit and eat it." And she took some, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And they both realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves, and so on. Satan had convinced Eve that God was holding out on her. You'll become like God. God doesn't want to give you the gift of knowing good and evil. You'll become like him. You'll know good and evil. You'll understand it, and that will make you better than you'll ever be, better than you'd ever be if you just listened to God, just listened to what he had to say. And she believed him. She was tricked. She fell for it. For the rest of Scripture, by the way, Eve doesn't get the blame, Adam does, because it says, St. Paul tells us that she was deceived, but Adam knew what he was doing when he took that fruit. And in eating it, in taking it, they killed every one of their children, and themselves too. They cursed every one of their children, and themselves too. I'm the father of four, the grandfather of one, the pastor to many. And oh, how I wish I could spare my children from knowing evil, from seeing and beholding the things that you see in this life. Oh, how I wish I could save them from the tears that they'll shed and the things that will come to them. But I can't. Because if you live here, they come to you. No matter how you try to hide from them, no matter how you try to run from them, they will come. Sometimes the cost is very high. They made fools of themselves in the garden. They covered themselves with leaves to hide in the trees from God. Isn't that kind of weird? God can't see me if I'm covered with this leaf. God comes and says, "Where are you?" You say, "We're just a bush, waving in the breeze. Not here." Says to the woman, "Do you know what you've done?" She didn't, but she would. And then he turns to the man who did it on purpose. He says, "Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And he said, "The woman you gave me, she deceived me and I ate." See, he blames God and he blames her, but the worst part about it is that there is only one penalty that he knows for that, and that's death. He hasn't just tried to pass the blame off like kids on the playground. He's trying to get her killed so that he won't die. If he can get her to die so that he can live, he's willing to do that, which tells you how far we've fallen from love, that if you can sacrifice another for your sake, then it's going to be good enough. And she, who had nothing left, no one left to turn to, and God is her enemy, simply cried out. Thousands of years later, after the Feast of Passover, another woman knelt in the garden and cried. They had killed her Lord. She didn't know what to do about it either. Death had taken everything once again. She thought that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel, and now she was betrayed by her church. She was betrayed by the people that she thought she knew. Everybody who had followed him except her and the family had run away, and even a lot of his family had run away. They had left him. Everybody denied that they knew him, and now she was there in the garden where his dead body lay a few feet away, crying. When somebody walked up to her, said, "Mary," she turned and she saw it was Jesus, risen from the dead, the crucified one standing there in front of her. And she reached out and she tried to grab him and she said, "Lord, Rabboni." And he said, "Don't touch me." We always concentrate on that part of the Easter thing. Why did she say, "Don't touch him"? Maybe he's a ghost. Maybe he's magical. Maybe she can't stand the impact of touching him. Why not grab hold? He tells her, "Because I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." You see, that's the part that we should have seen, that he isn't saying, don't touch me because there's something there. It's because she thought everything had gone back to where it was before. Suddenly, everything was going to be okay again because he was alive again and death had been rolled back a little bit. You see, that's not at all what he was saying. What he was saying is there's something more, because death was no longer the sting it was, because the one who could not die had thrown himself into death. And because of that, we will live. And because of that, he gathers for himself a people from every tribe, from every language, from every nation, including those that we love who have died in the Lord. Because through that death, he has empowered everything that gives life. Through that death, and through his resurrection, he's given you a hope that can't be taken away, and has gathered for himself a people. A people born not of a father's will or of human decision, but born of God, washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And what will we be like when we're with them? What will those who are gathered to him be like? Well, John, as he's getting this picture in Revelation of all these people gathered in white robes before the throne of God, you got to get the early part of that too. You see, John was one of the 12 apostles, and he's wandering around in heaven with a tour guide, and as soon as he sees that tour guide, at first somebody shows up in front of him, and he sees such a great majestic being that he collapses before him like a dead man and starts to worship him. And this, his fellow servant, picks him up and says, "Don't worship me. I'm like you." Can you imagine those that you know who have died in the Lord now living in such glory that if you beheld them, you would think that you should worship them? That's where love leads. That's where Jesus leads. And this is not separated from the forgiveness of sins. It's the fruit and the consequence of it. This is not separated from the resurrection. It's the fruit and the consequence of it. This is not separated from your daily life. It's the fulfillment of it. Jesus comes to you in his word, and he gathers his people. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole holy Christian church and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, and on the last day will raise up me and all the dead and give to those who have faith in Christ eternal life. And on this hope we build and we stand. And this is the message which cannot and will not perish from the face of the earth. People say the church is dying. People are no longer going. The church is not dying. It's the only thing that's alive. The church is not dying. It's the only place where life is found. We gather together here on All Saints' Day to celebrate life. Life lived, life redeemed, life resurrected, life restored, life given to you, for you. Who are these, dressed in white robes, palms in their hands? It's you, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, your friends, grandmother, grandfather. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they stand before him day and night, and they shall no longer be burned by scorching heat. For behold, he makes all things new. And God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Eric and Joanna Stinnett, who serve the Lord in Ethiopia. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.